Morning, everyone. How are we doing? Good. So today is a special day. Today is Mother's Day. And I'd just like to take the opportunity from me personally to honor and thank all the moms for all their care and their hard work and things that they've done throughout their life into those around them. I'm just going to hold this a bit closer to my mouth so you can just turn it down slightly. So while I was thinking about this, I thought of my lovely wife, and she's probably not going to like me doing this because she's one of those who doesn't like being in the spotlight. But this is a woman who, she goes the extra mile. I've seen how she lays things down. She'll go to the shop to go and buy herself something, and she'll come home with stuff for the kids. And I'll be like, but love, I gave you the money for you to go and buy yourself something. But she does that. And I think it's such a beautiful heart. I just want to make sure that I'm staying on track because there's a couple of things that I'd like to mention, and I'm sure that each and every one of us, if we take some time out, we can think of some of those moments where our own moms have gone out of their way. You know, whether it's dishing up meals for everyone before they serve themselves, whether it's spending hours at night with homework after they've had a rough day, whether it's driving backward and forth from school to extramurals to sports as if their main role was an Uber driver. And, I remember a story when I was probably about 7 or 8 years old. Oh, thanks, Todd. Let me just grab that quick. So I was about 7, which I was probably more 8 years old. And I had this one friend of mine, and we'd best mates. We'd play together the whole time, and my dad had built this tall pole swing in our back garden. And I'd learned this new trick, jumping off the swing while it's in full motion. Because we used to watch the A-Team and MacGyver and all those kind of things. And the younger guys, I mean, don't worry about it, you know, Spider-Man. And I had to show this friend of mine this cool trick. Now, I'm not going to jump off forward. I'm going to jump off backwards. Watch. Needless to say, the following sound that you heard as I landed was snap, as my right arm broke behind my back. So I ran inside, and as any young man of those times would know, Dettol fixes everything. So I ran a basin of Dettol and warm water, shoved my arm in the water, and nothing was happening. The bend was still there. The arm was still in pain. So I ran to my room, and I lay on my bed, and that was it. My mom came into the room, and she's like, Gavin, what's the matter? I was like, Mom, my arm's broken. And she's like, no, man, don't be ridiculous. And she touches my arm, and I go, wah! And she goes, wah! And I go, oh! And she goes, oh! Needless to say, off we go to the hospital, and I get my arm sorted out. But there was something in that moment where my mom shared in my pain. She shared in my suffering. When I screamed, she screamed. When I cried, she cried. It's because there was something of God inside her, that tender and loving nature that was there to nurture. And maybe let me just ask you guys, name one trait about your mom that stood out to you. Let's go to the side of the room. One good trait of your mom that stood out to you. Kind. Anyone else? Forgiving. Sacrifice. This side. Caring. Selfless. Beautiful. This side. Hardworking. Time. Wise. Nurturing. Heart. God-fearing. This side. Kisses. Sorry? Unconditional love. Anyone else? Compassionate. So if we can put one, Genesis 1, verse 26, please. In the beginning, God said, then God said, let us make human beings in our image. To our likeness, they will reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, And we'll skip down to 27. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. And there's something of what is in a man that is in the image of God. And there's something that is what of a woman is that's in the image of God. There's often, guys, we can relate. How different does your wife frequently think to what you think? I mean, we had a scenario recently where we're trying to put in a pool and sort out a garden. And my girls in the house are thinking in one way, and it's pretty and it's lovely, and I'm thinking practical, and I'm stuck on the practical. It's like, but the dirt and the this, and they're like, but Dad, we want pretty. And we're like, but how do we come together in that? How do we reflect the Lord as the two become one flesh? Yeah? And that's one of the reasons why marriage is such a beautiful representation of Christ in the church, but also the oneness of God, where the Bible speaks and says the two become one flesh, is together they represent God more fully. And then I was just reading through Timothy in this last week, and it makes mention of his mom Eunice and his grandmother Louise. And these are two significant ladies that played a huge role in Timothy's life, because nowhere, and the theologians can correct me if I'm wrong, nowhere do I see Timothy's dad ever being mentioned. And he had to have been on the scene at some point, otherwise there wouldn't have been a Timothy, right? But Eunice and Louise were two that were mentioned. And then 2 Timothy, oh, thanks, you jumped. 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, Paul's writing, and he says, I remember your genuine faith. You shared the faith that first filled your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. And then 2 Timothy 3:15, please. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ. So there's something of what Eunice and what Louise did with Timothy as they raised him up. And then there's that scripture in Proverbs where it says, raise a child in the ways of the Lord, and when they're older, they will not depart. That there was something of an impartation that his mom and his grandmom put into his life that impacted him in such a way that Timothy became Timothy that we read about in the Bible. And yes, there was the relationship with Paul and all those things, but there was something from a young age. So, I think I've jumped ahead of myself a little bit. Because what I was thinking is the reason for this morning and the picture that I had was actually last night at the gathering. There was that one song. Man, this song, it's such a beautiful song. And maybe it's beautiful to me because it's the song that my wife walked in on our wedding day. And it's an old Michael W. Smith song. We sang it last night. It's that one where it goes, Hallelujah. I know what you're thinking. Gavin, are you going to sing it? I can if you want, but you know which one I'm talking about? Our Lord God Almighty reigns? Hallelujah. There you go, that one. And you know, it's something, every time I hear that song, I remember what Lizelle looked like that day as she got out of the car and she stood at the end of the aisle in her beautiful dress, all done up, absolutely radiant and amazing, and she started walking down and it was like, wow, you know, this is the gift that God's given me. And in that moment, I was reminded of the covenant that I made that day, you know, and I felt like for this morning, for the ladies, but also for all of us, is God wants to remind us of the covenant that we've made with him, or that he's made with us, but the promises that we made. On that wedding day, I made promises to Lizelle that I would never leave her, that I would, through thick and through thin, through good times, through bad times, we would stay together. And when we got saved, there were things that we said to God in our heart, that we made promises to God. If God does this, then I'm going to do that. And if only, and this, anyway, I can't think of any promises right now. But you get what I'm saying. There's those promises, and I feel like that the Lord, through that picture, the Lord is wanting to remind us of those promises that we made him. And some of those promises were even where he spoke to us, and he said, my son, one day I want you to fulfill a role in the church, like with me. I knew one day I was going to be a leader. I didn't realize I was going to be an elder. I thought when I became a community leader, I thought that was it. You know, I'd reached the destination that God had for me. But there was things that the Lord was still working through. And I felt like this morning that the Lord wants to remind us of those promises that we made to him. Because the time is coming for us to take those steps and to step out. Just like I'm doing this morning. So as we said, moms are a real blessing from the Lord. And they're vitally important in the role of the church, in the role of the community. Because there's another scripture, Faith, what was that one that we said there? Titus 2, please, verse 4. These older women must train up the younger women to love their husbands and their children, to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, to be submissive to their husbands, then they will not bring shame to the word of God. And I feel like I would almost want to charge each of the moms this morning to look around you. Look to your left, look to your right. Who are the young women around you that the Lord is asking you to train up, to teach, to what it says there, to love their husbands. And maybe they don't have husbands yet. And all the younger women, we pray that if that's your desire, that the Lord will fulfill that for you. But that there would be something of the, and maybe it's just practical now that I'm thinking of it. Maybe you don't know how to make a meal. Maybe you are unsure how to make a bed. Maybe it's simple, you know, but for you it's a big deal. I'm just throwing it out. Because there's something of a faithfulness of a woman. There's a faithfulness of a wife. And it was mentioned earlier on I think Patrick was speaking about faith. And as you were speaking, I can't remember exactly what he's saying now in the announcements, but I remembered, I just felt highlighted that there's one thing being faithful. There's another thing being full of faith. Faithful. And I feel like the Lord is calling us, even with 412 coming and the hosting and all these things that are coming, he's stirring up in us to become full of faith. So for the ladies and for the guys. And I know for this little demographic over here this morning, it might not feel like you guys too, but the Lord is stirring your faith as well. For you guys to step out too. Because maybe, just maybe, while you're busy playing fives at 412 with those youngsters, the Lord drops a prophetic word or something, or a word of an encouragement, or you get down and you look at a young man in his face and you show compassion. And it's maybe the first time an older man or an older person has ever showed compassion. And there's something of a breaking out of God's love that person one day stands up here and says, you know what, one day when I was 5 years old, someone showed compassion to me at 412 on a soccer field. And just like with Eunice and with Louise, look at the inheritance that those ladies carried. I'm speaking to these guys, but I'm speaking to everyone too, so please forgive me if I'm not looking at you. But I just feel like in this moment, there's something of an inheritance that the Lord has for you guys. And when I look, I'm looking from Bessie across here. You'll at work, I believe. I feel like there's something of an inheritance that the Lord has for you, that as you are faithful with the little, you will become full of faith for the much. And it's something that he will bring about. And then there will be stories and testimonies of the impact that you guys have had in young boys' lives. And they will go on and do great things in the kingdom. And that'll be a part of your inheritance. Amen. Okay. So where was I? So this morning's Mother's Day. And there's something of God in them and in each and every one of us that he's asking us to display, that he's stirring up in us. And this morning, as we've sang, as we've worshiped, as we've praised, as we even went deep and he loved on us and he reaffirms his love to us so that we can go out and love others. I don't have this on the notes, but I was reading 1 Corinthians last week before last, and it speaks about God comes and he comforts us in our times of distress so that we can go out and we can comfort others in their times of distress. And that is what God is asking us to do in this time. Now, I just made a note here that with Timothy, he was raised by his mom and grandmother, and there's no notice or there's no recollection in the scriptures of his dad. You know, how many of us sitting here have no recollection of our dads? You know, all that we have is poor, to say the best. You know? But yet, through the faithfulness of someone, through the faithfulness of two ladies, and their dedication to the Lord and to the Word, they brought about what happened with Timothy and what Timothy walked into. So yes, sometimes we can put that thing and say, you know what, I had an absent father. Oh, great. My dad wasn't very present either. But there's something of him that's always been present. From the day that he knitted you together in your mother's womb, he's been watching and he's been waiting. As you've taken your first step, he's been watching and he's been waiting. As you committed your life to him, he's been watching, he's been waiting. As you came up to the front to confess your sins for the first time, he's been watching, he's been waiting. As you step out in faith for the next thing, he's been watching and he's been waiting for that very moment. So this morning, I'm aware it's Mom's Day, and that's why it's pretty short and sweet message this morning. But what I felt to encourage us all with is that God is watching and waiting. He's watching and waiting. There's something of him that he's deposited into each and every one of us. And he's watching and waiting for the fulfillment of that. So let's be a people that step out in faith, that don't just carry faith, but that we're full of faith. We're not just faithful, we're full of faith. Joe is coming up. I'm thinking, okay, Joe. is there anyone that's feeling anything at the moment? Along these lines, along moms, along being full of faith. Conroy. And Joe.
Just as Gavin was sharing, I feel the Lord saying two things today. Like, he wants to follow out, like in worship. Like, he wants to come and do something. It's not something that we need to do. We need to be found in his presence. And when we're filled with him, the things that we're struggling with will be overwhelmed. And then the thing that Gavin's talking about, the next step of faith. The thing when I was praying and I felt that every one of us is going to be stretched. Like, if you want to grow, you need to be stretched. And as Gavin's sharing, that stretching is the next step. But it's not just the next step, the next logical step for you. It's just not the next step you think. But it's going to be the step that you think in. What is the next step in God? Because he's talking about the being full of faith. The next step of faith that you're going to take is going to be in God. And you're going to only know the next step by being found in his presence. And this, what the Lord's saying us today is that he is guiding our path, he is guiding our steps, but be found in him. Be found in him. And I was just, as Gavin was sharing, I was like, yo, let us be stretched in this season so we can grow. We don't want to be at the end of this year and be like, I'm in the same place because I've been busy dealing with my life issues. You know that life issues will always be there? the struggles of life, the tests of life, the distractions of life, the focuses of life. I'm going through a season, I must focus on my kids, on my career, on my... That will always be there. But we always have to be a people that lift our gaze and say, Lord, what is the next step in you? What is the next step the Spirit is leading us to? But my favorite scripture, I think I say it every Sunday, is those that are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God.
Good morning. I think when Gavin asked, for me, I just felt something of the significance of godly moms. Okay, and they are biological moms and they are spiritual moms as well. And just something practically that I want to share as well is the scripture that was put up of, you know, the impact of a mom to Timothy. Okay, now, they may not be that significant to man, but they're very significant to God. We can see how it ultimately shaped the generation going forward. And just a quick personal story from my side. When I got saved varsity, I was actually quite wrecked. And I found myself in church as a baby Christian, right? And I remember some spiritual moms. I'll just mention five of them quickly. There's Sister Ursula, there's Sister Pam, there's Sister Veronica, there's Sister Monica, and then there is Sister Annie, okay? The first of them, she's currently in Turkey. Pray that God just blesses her there. She's on holiday. And the last of them, Sister Annie, is with us. Okay, so Sister Annie is with us. And I just want to honor you, Sister Annie. Sister Annie is also Patrick's mom. Okay, so just the significance, because to us as a church, there's been a blessing. We all have heard Patrick's teachings. We have seen Sage and Kyan run around to give us a practical demonstration of our walk and how we run a race. We all got to taste Cindy's cookies, right? These are tangible things that, you know, we have been blessed with, right? But they are what is also not seen, but they are significant to God. And Sister Annie has played a major role in shaping that. That's some of the fruit, right? So that's just an example, and the message really is around moms and spiritual moms. To never underestimate the significance to God in shaping Jesus or in building Jesus into a generation that needs God. Amen.
So on that, let's start hosting today with each other. So let's be politically correct. Moms, ladies, look to your left and look to your right to someone who's slightly younger than you and say to them, it's my responsibility. I can't hear you. It's my responsibility to lead you, to shape you, and to mold you, and to teach you all that the Lord has for you. Then younger ladies, look to those moms and say, moms, it's my responsibility to be led by you, to be taught by you, to allow you to shape me, to allow you to mold me, to allow you to teach me to cook and clean. No, I'm just kidding. Or maybe I'm not. But yes, let's live this out, because we've seen some of the beautiful stories, not just in Timothy, but here in our very congregation, of what moms, the impact that moms have had in our lives. And I'm sure my daughters can tell stories too. And I said earlier, I'm sure we can all tell stories. So let's do that. And for guys, the guys are not exempt. It is Mom's Day, and the significant focus is on moms today. So I hope you phoned your mom today. But for the guys, there's a responsibility on us too, to walk closely together, to hold each other to an account, and to live a life pleasing to the Lord. I think maybe if we can close off in prayer. I'd love for the moms to be prayed for. But also I would love for the moms, if it's possible, for the moms to pray for those younger ones around them, just for a few moments. Is that okay? Cool.